He tucked the letter into his jacket pocket and took a walk down the path into the woods behind his house. Walking through the yard was like walking through some kind of medieval court, given all the peacocks standing around watching his passage as if he were a strange and sacred cow in their midst. He'd already persuaded the Chisholms to let him take Jane up to Memphis to be looked over there. Lied, and said it wouldn't cost anything, that they would consider odd cases for the value of learning more about them in order to treat others down the line. He rounded a corner in the trail and heard something and just did see the sprightly forms of half-grown children bounding away through a thicket like so many frightened deer. A rare sighting of the species Urchinus trespassus, although he knew very well his woods were regularly roamed by boys from nearby farms and even the northernmost neighborhoods in town. He'd seen their rough-shod forts and campsites. That was all fine with him. In his better moods, he'd pretend they were his own wayward, half-wild children, conceived in a sylvan, satirical dream, mythical forest creatures not to be tended like the mortal child. He didn't like knowing the little bastards shot songbirds with their air guns, but he had done the same as a boy. It was rare he heard the rifle or shotgun of a true poacher, and if he'd heard it regular, he would have called the sheriff, but so far that hadn't been the case. There were deer and hogs and turkey in here, he knew, and he suspected an ivory bill, maybe a pair. He only hoped some fool boy or man would not shoot one or both of those birds. He heard the call of a peacock deeper in the woods and thought, or them. He crossed the creek where it was shallow and narrow and walked through a little glade and then up a long sloping hill. At the top there was the old gazebo he'd built just after he and Lett married. They'd loved to come out here, have a bottle of beer and a picnic. It was high up. You could see out over the woods, just a glimpse of glinting light on the lake a quarter mile west at the end of the property. He knew those same boys, and their parents, trespassed to fish there all the time. By now, most knew he didn't spend much time in his own woods. They probably considered it public property for all they cared, and he practically did too, he supposed. As long as he knew he himself had access, and no one the right to tell him otherwise. He sat in the now-neglected gazebo and remembered those Sunday afternoon picnics. No one could reach him there, with her, even if they came calling, even if someone was a-dying and a-crying. Oh, my Lord, he would not know it.